Let's do a podcast.
Let's
do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast about Charlotte. Let's do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast
about Charlotte. Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Charlotte Podcast. This is John.
And this is Miller, and this is episode 243 with special guest. Long-time listener, long-time talker, long-time tweeter and friend, supportive guy. Welcome, supportive guy.
Hey, fellas, how you doing tonight?
Could not be better. Both of us are in a fantasy football draft. We can't wait to talk to you.
That's a surprise. That's
right here.
The one thing we know you love the most is fantasy football, and we both are in the middle of a draft, so we thought we could ask you some questions on what we should do.
That's my Achilles heel.
I feel it's a keeper league, and I'm gonna stock up on some quarterbacks that I'm very excited about.
All right, good for you.
I got Zach Wilson. I'm very pumped. Do you have any? Would you like to talk about Zach Wilson's, you know, his projections this year as a quarterback?
No, I would not. Let's move on to the next.
John, what do we want to talk about this week's episode?
So we have some Gallimaufry, a smorgasbord, if you will. We're going to talk. I understand that there's some football games coming up in the city of Charlotte that some people are excited about, and that may or may not have been promoted via creative viral means that I'd like to hear more about. And then we're all dads. And so we all like to take some creativity to parenting. So we're going to hit on that. And then we have a very special question for a supportive guy based on some breaking news.
Yes. Well, let's get slathered with excitement, as the popular phrase to describe the Duke's Mayo Classics. Obviously, I could probably, as the person whose job it is to speak about these games, I probably should just shut up and let you guys ask me questions. Or how do you want to do this, John? I think you're going to the Thursday night game, right?
I am, yeah. So why don't you, as a person who knows all the details, like tell us what happens. It's next weekend, right?
Yes, it's Labor Day weekend. Right. The Duke's Mayo Classics.
The Duke's Mayo Classics. So you got to speak in dates. And you Miller, as a guy, Miller like texted me some like random acronym that clearly he like uses at work to talk about the games. I was like, what is that? Like, I have no idea.
I said DMC.
Yeah, the DMC. I was like, this could be
DMC
really
is the Duke's Mayo Classic.
Yeah, just like the Duke's Mayo Bowl is the DMB, you know?
Yeah, there you go. Both of those have wildly different
they never get confusing with Dave Matthews Band.
No.
I never think you're talking right about that.
No, there's no ants marching in our office. That'd be bad for the mayonnaise. So we have two games coming up on Thursday, September 2nd. We have App State versus ECU, a regional rivalry, which is actually a home game for App State, which is pretty cool that they're able to kind of plant their flag in Charlotte. Friday of that, we'll have like an outdoor fan fest and concert. And then Saturday, I would say it's probably the most anticipated college football game of the year, which is number 2 Clemson versus number 5 Georgia. College game day will be here. It's going to be, I mean, it's a pretty big deal to have these games. And obviously, we're in the middle of a
popular university pregame show.
Yes, there will be a popular college game day.
So funny. I
with
love
Chris Fowler.
Chris Fowler.
Oh, man. Yeah. By the way, Ronald Jones II just went for $75 support.
Yeah, that makes me feel better about Justin Fields at $78. But, I had a question that I was distracted by. No, wait, I remember my question now. Have you named the entertainment before Georgia and Clemson? What's going on with that concert?
So there's a concert Friday night with like Ingrid Andress and Warwick McZeek, who are country artists, which is just like free and open to the public, kind of the public street concert for anyone in Charlotte can go. The thing on so Saturday, it's the morning is college game day, and then starting at like 4 o'clock, there'll just be like an open fan fest with like party bands and stuff before Georgia Clemson. But that thing's going to be a whole production. Like, so the stadium put in like LED lights, there'll be paratroopers dropping in. Like, it's going to be pretty big deal. Exciting. So Also, I think the one thing that it's a talking point of ours, so you're probably going to see my boss Danny Moore since say it on the TV a lot, but it's actually true. If you think about the past year and a half, like the industry has probably been hurt the most, or one of the industries that's been hurt the most by the pandemic is the hospitality industry. And this is probably the first big event that is happening in Charlotte in that time frame. And I mean, it's people's jobs. Hotel rooms are full. We're having restaurants, stuff like that. And it's certainly still a pandemic. We're having indoor mask mandate and things like that. But I do think there is some positive things about these games that actually benefit Charlotte, especially the size of them.
So talk about, like, I'm curious because I'm going to the game on Thursday. What's the mask situation? I know broadly,
yeah,
like mandate, but what does that mean for me personally, looking to attend this game, this App State ECU game?
Awesome. I just got Jalen Waddle. Just wanted to let everyone know, but I'm fine with that. I think he's gonna be great. I'm now gonna try to get Mac Jones to back up Cam Newton. He's in a COVID situation.
I love doing fantasy drafts with college football guys. Sorry,
but obviously, there's indoor mask mandate. So that's if you're like on the suite level or club level, you will be wearing a mask indoors or be encouraged to wearing a mask indoors. I think the key thing is do what you feel most comfortable. If you want to wear a mask, please do. Like, okay. We're not into like mask shaming here. We encourage people. But also, it's an outdoor event and we're doing all we can to be safe. But also, at the same time, we want to have it. Kind of a tricky line to walk, and we're trying to do it because we believe in the games and the ability to do them.
Right.
Svorgov, what do you think about, like, who do you think is going to win these games?
I guess
some picks.
I'd say App State and Clemson just off the top. That Clemson-Georgia game is going to be good. College football playoff preview, right?
Yes, I think there's a shirt that says the road to the college football playoff starts here.
Yeah, looking forward to that one a lot.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. Is that all you need me to talk about the games, John?
No. Okay. I want to hear what's supportive guy, pump up supportive guy's contributions. He's done some awesome work.
And oh, yeah, yeah. So
people don't live and die by every tweet from anyone based in Charlotte. So tell them what Supportive Guy's done for you.
I would say it is some of the best content we have put out as the Bowl. He has done SG, why don't you take what the premise is and kind of how you went through it. I want to hear how I see the finished product.
The process.
I want to hear your creative process.
Take us into the writer's room.
So Miller reached out to me and asked me to come up with something for the games to kind of promote them a little bit. And I got back to him and I was like, what kind of tone are you looking for? And he was like, odd. He's like, just make them odd. And I can do that all day long. Like, I mean, the supportive words from supportive guy, that kind of stuff I can just do. So I had the idea to do, like, maybe we would mention two or three real things about the game and then just go way off the rails at the end with something either silly or kind of benign and monotonous, like hyping up the Bank of America Stadium restrooms. So that was sort of the process for that.
And the idea is like they're failed TV. Almost like you pitch these as TV commercials we should use. And it's like the first 15 seconds are always very normal. And then it just takes a complete turn.
Yeah.
But like with just enough, like you can like foreshadowing of the weirdness to come, which I enjoyed. There's always like just like something slightly off in the beginning. They're like, wait, this isn't quite a normal thing. So I was.
There's no logos, no anything.
Yeah.
I like the idea of people watching them and just being like, what is this exactly?
Yeah, but they're doing well. Views, getting things like that. I would say, SG, I would say that is the thing you are second best at in life is this odd tone. One thing, knowing who you are as a person, which we won't give away any details, I think you're a fantastic dad as well. And I think one thing we want to talk about is dadding in the pandemic. I would love to hear you and John, any things you guys have learned, pointers, key things of how you've survived a year and a half with multiple people.
John, you go first.
Well, everyone's still alive, which I think is kind of like the pass fail slide scale that it must be measured on. So I would stop short of saying that I've like figured it out and I have a hack, just because everyone in my family, myself included, would admit that we could probably have done better. But one thing that I'd recommend if you have the means and can swing it, is like an inflatable slide. And actually, here's a hack for you. All right, inflatable slide, big enough that multiple people can be on it at once, right? But small enough you can store it without it being a giant pain, right? And this is one of the ones that has like the fan that keeps it inflated. It's almost like bouncy house-esque, but not a commercial grade bouncy house, like one that you could have like a personal bouncy house.
Yeah.
But don't get the water. Don't hook up the water to it. Way too much cleanup. You got to wait for it to dry. You got to inflate it. Well, it's got to be inflated while it dries. Giant mess. What you do, this is my wife's idea, credit where it's due. You get ball pit balls. You get yourself a bunch of ball pit balls. The kids love them more than the water. You don't have to mess with like swimsuits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ball pit / inflatable slide. And that thing has been like instant entertainment for my kids over quarantine. So there you go.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So one thing we did is we got a trampoline at Christmas. And nice. Since the weather has warmed up, we there's a trampoline sprinkler that you can put around the netting of the trampoline. And we've turned that on and let them get outside and bounce around and beat the heat that way. Just trying to encourage a lot of things that aren't screens, because they've been on screens you know, all day for school and everything. So just trying to get them out of the house and be active. And we do a lot of family walks too. Those are always nice. Walk the dog around the neighborhood, and it's a good chance to talk and just kind of see what's going on with everybody. Touch base.
I think the walk's the key thing. It's like we do a morning, always a morning, always an afternoon walk, and it's been super helpful. And also, so mine obviously is just barely talking. I have a younger son than you guys, but it is, it's been pretty fun to just like, as each walk, we've been doing it for a year now, each walk he's beginning to see more and more and talk about things and repeat. And it's like he's exploring the world. So that's been good. Yeah. And then I think also, I know you mentioned screens, but finding YouTube videos that aren't like horrible for him. So like airplane videos landing and taking off have been awesome. We were watching trains tonight and talking about where trains go. So like YouTube, you can find a bunch of stuff, which is great.
Yeah, that's always good. Getting into the YouTubers, which I was a little worried about his sense of humor, how that was going to shape it, because those guys are just not, I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're just not that good, I don't think. They're just, it's all about, seems like it's just talking fast and just keeping the images moving. And just, that's how they bring people in. But his sense of humor is forming nicely. So I've been proud about that.
Yeah. We've been into knock, knock jokes recently, and they don't, but like what they don't understand punchlines. So it's just like complete nonsense. And it's interesting to plumb the depths of a 7 and 3 year old's like I guess like improv chops of like what's the most ridiculous thing they can come up with. So we've gone down some fun rabbit holes with the knock knock jokes. Have you been there yet, Millard? Is
no. Your guy? But he did, and I told you this, he did look at me randomly today and just said, "I love you," which he's also sick, so I don't know if he's delirious. So it's one of those two things.
It's the children's ibuprofen talking.
Yeah. All right, John.
I have a brief knock knock joke story.
Oh, boom, go. Take that away.
Go on.
So, John, have you told the my favorite knock knock joke is always the interrupting cow. Have you told that one yet?
Yeah, they're a big fan of that, but they never get the timing right, so it devolves, but it's good.
Well, my youngest the other day had a variation on the interrupting cow joke where he said, "Knock, knock." I said, "Who's there?" He said, "Interrupting banana." I said, "Interrupting banana," and he threw a banana at my face. It was the funniest knock-knock joke I've ever seen, even though it hurt a little bit. I did not see the banana until it was already at my face.
It's like being at a Gallagher show. It's awesome. It was.
Minus the 1980s racism. John, ask supportive guy your question you asked me last night via text message randomly.
All right. So speaking of parenthood, some sad news in the celebrity news front. Del Curry and Sonia Curry are sadly parting ways. But this does mean that Stephen Curry's famous mom is now on the market.
And Seth.
And Seth. That's right. Sorry, Seth. Big listener. So my question to you is, like, if you were to take Stefan and Seth's mom, Sonia, out on a date, on a first date, where'd you go and why?
Well, my first date go-to was always the movies. Those just always easy. But I mean, yeah. I know that a lot of girls didn't like that because you don't talk at the movies.
Right.
You're just sitting there and watching it. So I would say maybe just a nice cup of coffee or a dinner.
I think she'd respect that. Yeah. Where would you go to dinner? Cause so I'm tipping my hand a little bit on my idea, but like, where'd you take? So this is a woman. This isn't a girl. This is a woman who has been married to professional athletes. Yeah. Of means. Yeah. Like the fancy, like a nice, she's been to nice dinners. Right. Yeah. So with that in mind, like how do you stand out among a life of luxury lived?
I would probably go with beef and bottle. I like that old school atmosphere in there. It's kind of like it's got kind of like a Rat Packy vibe in there. The low ceilings and the candlelight. Probably go with something like that.
Yeah,
something with some character.
I like that. Miller had a good idea of a location. What was your location, Miller?
Chima. But then, as you said, you have to flip the script and order
sound. That's right. So here's my take, is you got to stand out, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, she's looking, this is a woman, like, she's looking for, she's kind of seen it all, right? And like, if you're going to be memorable and like get a second date, like you better be ready to kind of stand out in the crowd, right? And yeah. Like, she kind of knows what she wants. She's not playing any games, right? So you gotta deliver that message subtly. So you go to a Brazilian steakhouse, but you don't order any meat. But it's not because of like any dietary reasons. You're like, you know what? You can be on a diet, but like, you're like, you know what? You just need to be like an anachronism, right? So it's like, you know what? I'm just gonna have a salad. I'm feeling like a salad. I'm confident in this order. I'm so confident, comfortable in my own skin. I'm going to order a salad when in a restaurant where they bring you meat on swords. Even though I asked you to come here, and that guy has meat on a sword, I'm going to order like a very specific chopped salad. And then later Miller had a good idea because he pointed out that like, I don't know what, I think Miller is into biohacking and he's not talking about it too much because later he was like, yeah, I'm a pescatarian now. So I don't know. He doesn't drink. He doesn't eat meat. So whatever. I'm not interested in delving into that, but it led us to a point where another power move would be you bring your own fish to a restaurant. And then you like call the manager over and you like ask them to cook it in the back.
Ask them to cook it for you.
And be like, can the fellas in the back cook up this fish? I had my fish guy flew it in for me this morning. And can you guys whip up something nice for myself and my date? Because it's just got to be, not that she's going to be impressed with a power move. You're not playing a game here. That's the opposite of what Sonia Curry wants. But
maybe she does want games.
No, she doesn't want games, but you need to demonstrate that you understand. You just need to be somebody that knows very specifically what they want.
Yeah, so I like that. One.
Well, I think we're out of material. Anything to wrap up the show? SG, do you have any positive words that people should just off the top of your head from your
off
heart?
The top of my head.
You had to know that was coming.
Well, I just hope everyone stays healthy and safe out there and stays away from fantasy football as much as possible.
I just wrapped up my draft. Well, yeah. Will you woo with us, supportive guy?
Of course, always.
All right, perfect. All right, everyone, 1, 2, 3.
Woo! Woo!
gonna stop recording. I forgot which button to hit. It's been too long since we've done this.
The Charlotte Podcast is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.